right, Adam, you got me up? Sounds like it. A little bit, probably enough. All right. Well, I have to apologize if anybody missed lunch last week. I'll try to be a little more timely oriented this week. And but I was encouraged as I was going through the material that I prepared, that as we talked about the gospel, I saw a lot of you with your Bibles and you were flipping pages. And that's good, because I recognize that the Bible is chock full of the gospel message. So I'm sure, I hope your mind was thinking even beyond what I was talking about. Today is widely known as Palm Sunday, the day that Christendom kind of celebrates the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. I was struck last week in Sunday school class. We were talking about this and how Jesus put together, organized, ordained what the events of Palm Sunday that we celebrate in telling his disciples, go find this donkey with a colt and bring it here because we're going to go into Jerusalem. The image that came to my mind was Jesus being led on a colt into the city where he would be crucified and pay the penalty for the sins of sinners. And the people were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they were right, because Hosanna means salvation has come. Here it is. Now, they didn't recognize it in the way that we understand it now. But Palm Sunday has meaning in our celebration of Easter and in the events that we'll celebrate even later this week. I'm sure that you're not unlike many other Christians and even like myself, who from time to time kind of ask a question and wonder whether I'm living a successful Christian life. Am I really living the life that I should live? Is it as effective or successful? What does it look like? I want to. I'm trying real hard. But am I making progress? Sometimes I feel like I'm stuck in a rut. I'm just not getting anywhere. Well, this morning we're going to consider a caterpillar, a cocoon, and a butterfly. And we're going to consider the process or the power behind what turns one organism from one thing to another. You know, the picture has three pictures, but that is a picture of one organism in three different forms. So we're going to talk about that, but before we do, let's ask the Lord's presence and guidance for us. Father, we just praise you again for this opportunity to be gathered together and worship you. And as we open your word and look at it, and I just pray, Father, that you instruct me, guide me, filter and inspire the words that that I use, and filter and inspire the words that people hear. May what we consider today be honoring to you and be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. The process that allows a caterpillar to move to a cocoon and then to a butterfly is called transformation. Transformation. Now, that's not the font that I used in my deal, but we'll see what we can work with here, okay? Transformation. Now, you kids know about caterpillars to cocoons to butterflies, but this is a process by which one thing moves to another and moves to another. And it's not necessarily, in fact, it's probably not any of their doing that makes this happen. A caterpillar doesn't all of a sudden decide, well, I'm going to turn into a cocoon. A cocoon doesn't say, well, I'm all of a sudden going to hatch and I'll become a butterfly. I was trying to find this sermon that I had heard years ago, and I don't remember if it was Tony Evans or T.D. Jakes or I don't remember who it was now, but I'd spent a significant amount of time trying to find it. But the sermon was about Christians wanting to live a successful, fruitful life and what it requires. And the conclusion is that the successful Christian life requires transformation. And they said it as opposed or opposite of some other things that people might think are useful in the Christian life, and I'm not going to say that they're not useful, but these are not the powers that move us to growth and effective Christian living. Some of the things that they mentioned were education. Education's good, but it doesn't transform you, doesn't change you. Information's good, but it doesn't have the power of transformation. Motivation, I want to bad, or I've been inspired by some motivational speaker or book that I read, not transformation. Maybe it's concentration. I've got to concentrate more. All are good things, but the thing that comes to my mind is that we need transformation. That's what moves us to successful living. So, are we about slide 3? A Christian life, and a successful one, is a life that is wrapped around or wrapped by transformation. There's actually 3 things that I want to talk about here in relationship to this. Our text is in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Interesting that we'll close with this verse in the benediction and these verses as we use it this morning. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think in these 2 verses, we find a very good summary of 3 things that are essential to successful Christian living. In verse 1, we find the first, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And if I'll add in a little bit from a different translation, a reasonable service of spiritual worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The first description of what successful living is worship. The first description or the first direction is to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, as your reasonable service of spiritual worship. The second, in verse 2, as we follow in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The second, in verse 2, is to be able to discern what the will of God is. Who doesn't want to know what the will of God is? Christians go around all the time, I want to know what the will of God is. Okay? Well, if you want to know it, there's some instructions. There's a third instruction that goes along with this second description or direction. And that is surrounded by what is in between the two, worship and understanding the will of God. The first is, do not be conformed to this world. Conformity is an interesting word. Some people don't mind it because it's comfortable. Okay, I can be comfortable being conformed to this world. I think it kind of fits with what I talked about earlier. I'm stuck in a rut. Or I'm going to do the same old, but I'm not really happy with being conformed. Because conformed is not being free. Conformed is not being changed. Conform is, I'm going to stay where I'm at. And a caterpillar can't reach butterfly hood, if you want to call it that way, by being conformed. The second part of that direction and instruction is, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, transformation is not being conformed. Transformation is being free from the rut, free from being in the mold of the world, not confined by it, not limited by it, not defined by it, but moving out of one form into another. That can sometimes be uncomfortable. We've got to put off and put on, as we'll look here in a minute. It requires change. Now, I would submit to you that in your Christian living and in your Christian life, that there is no aspect of our lives that cannot be transformed in the power of the Holy Spirit and of God. You want to talk about transforming your marriage? You want to talk about transforming your family? Or your relationships within your family? Or your relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ? Or your relationship with your employer or your employee? There is not a single aspect of your life that cannot be transformed in the power of the Spirit. I think I needed that this week. Thinking about my marriage, there are some aspects of my marriage I wish were better. Do I need to go to a marriage counselor? Do I need to go to a seminar? Heard about that on the radio. If you don't like your marriage, just go to this seminar. No, my marriage needs transformation by the power of God and the renewing of my mind. So we're going to look at four perspectives of transformation. We're going to look at the instant aspects of transformation. We're going to look at agents of transformation, some characteristics of transformation, and a culmination of transformation. Now, There's a fundamental requirement for spiritual transformation and the renewing of your mind to happen. Let's go back to the caterpillar and the cutworm. Oh, I put a cutworm in there. Did you know that a cutworm will not turn into a beautiful monarch butterfly? It doesn't have it within itself to become. Now, it can become a moth, but I don't like to see them. They're not what I'm after. You see, the caterpillar has within it the genetic makeup as a caterpillar to become a beautiful butterfly. But if it doesn't, it's not going to make it. We can look at the cocoon. The cocoon is not going to become a butterfly unless it puts off its original form and puts on a new form. That's transformation. That's what I need. Now, next slide. You can put it a different way. Spiritual transformation requires regeneration. Now, you've got a pig up there. That sow says, I convert vegetables to bacon. Now, that's the kind of transformation I like. Okay. Yeah. No. 2 Peter 2:22 talks about, is at the conclusion of a passage of Scripture that's talking about false prophets and false prophecy. And at the conclusion of that, in 2 Peter 2:22, I thought I'd be able to see it, but I can't. It says, but it has happened to them, the false prophets, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. True transformation is not going to happen unless it starts in the heart, being born again. Y'all know the saying, you can put lipstick on a pig, and it's still a pig. It will return to what it always has been. The same way with us. If your heart is not transformed, you can try all you want. You can do all the right things that you want. But you're going to end up in the same place that you originally started, because transformation requires regeneration. Let's look at some aspects of those four things that I said we'd look at this morning. Slide 8, I have included 9 different aspects of instant transformation. I don't know, we won't look up all of these, but we could include more. Now, I want you to, as we go through here, I want you to understand, I kind of broke them up into different segments. And the first aspect of transformation we'll look at is instant transformation. This is not an exhaustive list, and it's probably, there are going to be some things that we look at in here that belong in another category too, or relate to it. So let's start with instant transformation. Upon regeneration, you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Secondly, I listed 3 verses there. Ephesians 2, chapter 1, and you can we looked at John 3:16, and it says, for whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. immediately, transformation, you or upon regeneration, you has been transformed from death to life. Romans 3:23, we often know that verse, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what does Romans 3:24 say? To me, this is the beauty of not forgetting context. It is correct. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus. Instantaneously, upon regeneration, you are justified. The next one, Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, describes that you have a new master. You are transformed from slaves of sin to slaves of righteousness. Now, I was looking at that more closely, and did you know it's impossible to belong to both? In fact, you're not even interested or can even be under the influence of righteousness if you're a slave to sin. And you cannot be under the influence, and you are not under the influence or dominion of sin if you are a slave to righteousness. Doesn't mean that sin doesn't come into our minds and tempt us, but I would submit to you that James instructs us that the source of those temptations are our own lusts and desires. We don't have to be tempted by our neighbor. We don't have to be tempted by Satan. We're tempted by our own lusts and desires. But with regeneration, we are no longer slaves of sin, but slaves to righteousness. The next one, 1 Peter 2:10, describes that once we were not a people. And then it says, but now you are children of God. Do you want to be a people or do you want to be children of God? I'll take children of God. I want to be in the family of God. I want to be transformed instantaneously from not being a people, but being the people and the chosen children of God. Romans chapter 8. Verses 16 and 17 and Galatians 4:7 describe that we are transformed from being not sons, in fact, being in Ephesians 2, being described as children of wrath by nature. We have been transformed to heirs of God. Think of your children. They're your heirs. Think of Christ being the heir of God. And you, as upon regeneration, are now heirs of God with, alongside Jesus Christ. Wow. Transformation also applies to our home of origin or home of desired origin. Citizenship. You have new citizenship as a believer in Christ Jesus. And this ought to be evident in your thinking. Philippians 3:20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Number 8, Ephesians 5:8 and Colossians 1:9-14 describe that we have become children of light. We have been transformed from children of darkness to children of light, and we ought to live like it. And Romans 6:11, number 9, we are dead to sin and alive to God. Those are the instant transformations, not all of them, but some that we can consider. And it's all predicated on a transformation that starts with regeneration. The next thing I'd like to look at is, what are the agents of spiritual transformation? Back in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, if we turn back there, I found it interesting in chapter 2. The first agent of spiritual transformation that we'd look at is in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, let's understand one thing. The renewing of your mind is not like some that would teach today that would encourage you just to change the way you think, change your thinking. I submit to you that there's no change of thinking unless your mind has been fundamentally changed by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:17-24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Romans 8:5-6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, the first agent of spiritual transformation is to have your mind changed by the power of the Holy Spirit so that it is set on things of the Spirit. This led me to think of, you know, this fundamental change in our thinking leads us to repentance. A fundamental change in your thinking is at the core of repentance. Because if you're going to repent, you agree with God. About whatever situation it is, you agree with him. That is a fundamental change from a mind set on the flesh to a mind that's set on the Spirit. I agree with God. And I am going to turn away from my fleshly spirit and thinking to the spiritual thinking and what is right. 1 John, we're familiar with this, 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. A fundamental change in our mind and in our thinking is necessary for spiritual transformation. Slide 10, second one. Agents of transformation is the Word of God, the Scriptures. I was doing some looking at some things that even at the elders' meeting the other night, and we were talking about the significance of our study of the Scriptures. And I ran across a quote from St. Jerome in the Catholic Church many, 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 many years ago. And his quote was this: "He who is ignorant of Scriptures is ignorant of Christ." Wow. Can't agree with that anymore. Than just what it says. The Scriptures. Let's take a look at what role they play and why they are agents of spiritual transformation. If you want to be transformed, you have a renewing of your mind, you also need to be in the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's what it can do: "Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It will expose you. It will expose my intentions of my heart, if I'll read it and pay attention to it. 2 Timothy 3:16, we're familiar with this. We know this to be true, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That the man of God may be equipped, transformed. All right? Yeah, we understand that all Scripture is inspired by God, but it is effective. It is useful. It makes a difference in your life. It will change it. It will transform it. That's what it's there for. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4, I think we looked at this a couple weeks ago when I think Leon was presenting the message. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." We can stop right there. Do you want your knowledge of Jesus Christ and of God to be multiplied? It's in the Scriptures. "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." The Scriptures will transform us. We can look at Psalm 19. We can look at Psalm 119 that have many verses that talk about the effect and the role of the Scriptures and God's Word in our lives, whether it's protecting us and preventing us from sin, whether it's opening our eyes, whether it's reviving the soul. It is the Word of God that can do those things. Jesus, in praying for his disciples and those that would follow as believers, prayed this in John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Do you know that sanctification is a process of transformation? Yes. So transformation comes from the word of God. The third, somewhere I put it, slide 11. Agents of spiritual transformation is our triune God. Philippians 1:6 says, he who has begun a good work in you will, will complete it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24, it's talking about sanctification and being presented blameless before the judgment seat of Christ. Who's going to do that? Verse 24 says, he will do it. He will do it. Now, I'm not going to go through all those, but I'm going to read some scriptures, and I want you to listen to how all three parts of the Trinity, persons of the Trinity, beings of the Trinity, are active in transformation. Romans chapter 8, verses 1, and I'll read a while, but I don't know if I'll read all 17. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak from the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of the sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Do you recognize him? You see him there? The triune God is involved in your transformation. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be prayed to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. All three. All three. Let's move forward to characterizations or characteristics of transformation. Now, here's where you get your checklist, right? No. Oh, you can use it as a measure, but I will tell you that transformation is a continual journey. Sorry, Bob. You've been around a long time, but you're not done being transformed. None of us will ever reach the end of transformation until we pass from this earth. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 talks about running a race. It is a continual, perpetual, persistent, repeatedly to be reminded that we are to think differently and act differently and live this time in the gap between now and between what we are and what we will be in faithfulness. Let's look at these. I don't know if I numbered them. I guess I did. 1 John 3:14 and John 13:35 says that if you're transformed, you will love the brethren. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. It also says that the world will know that you are my disciples because you love one another. You will have a new mindset. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says we are to set our minds on things above, on heavenly things. Is that what you think about? Is that what you're excited about? Is that what motivates you? Is that what you're looking forward to? That's a mindset. Oh, change of clothing. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 17. You mean I have to put on things and put off things? I heard a story one time about a mafia boss guy who made a profession of faith. Yeah, I want to be a Christian. I want to be saved from my sins. I want to go to heaven. And then he heard a message that said something about, oh, you have to put away sin? Oh, you mean I have to stop acting the way I was as a mobster and as a gangster? Oh, I'm not interested in being a Christian then, if I have to put off those things. Colossians 3, 5 through 7 says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, in the wrath of God, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now here comes verse 10. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You want a further list of what you're to put on? You can go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit, if we're walking and living by the Spirit, you will have evidence of fruit of the Spirit. Can you list them? I'm going to read them, if that's all right. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Do you see those things in your life? They're characteristics of transformation. Now, again, they aren't going to look perfect, but we're continually being transformed. Next one, good works. Matthew 5:16, Ephesians 2:10. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. And then in verse 10, Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10 says, for we have works that have been prepared for us by God. Now, we could probably go into this in some depth. Won't do that, but I think we have a little bit of a misconception about what good works is. I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I do this, and I do that. I go to church, and I read my Bible, and I pray, and those are all good things. But when I looked at this, it stood out to me that we have work to do. Are we about and are we doing the work that God has given us to do? It is a mark of our transformation. 2 Corinthians 5:18, 19 says, you have received the message of reconciliation. What are you supposed to do with it? Share it. It's not for us to keep. Mark 16:15, Matthew 28:19, Acts 1:8 say that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are his witnesses. We are to be his witnesses. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our job. We have work to do. There are other works that I won't go into as near as much as I'd like to. But in Matthew 25:31-46, Jesus talks about works on behalf of the least of these. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the scripture tells us that there is eternal consequences for the way that we approach serving and caring for the needy and the poor and the least of these. Now, there's a fundamental difference between the sheep and the goats that are described there. Jesus welcomes those that are the sheep because he says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was clothed, or I was naked, you clothed me. And the ones and the sheep go, when did we do that? And Jesus says, because when you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. And then he looks to the goats, and the goats say, well, you know, Jesus said, you didn't clothe me. You didn't feed me. And the goats say, well, Lord, when did we ever see you in these needs and didn't do it? Do you see the fundamental difference? The goats thought that their works of meeting the needs of people were their basis of spirituality and acceptability to the judge. No. It was a condition of the heart. And one who would do it to the least of these because they saw it as doing it to the Lord. Live as children of light. I listed four things there. Children of light are characterized by thanksgiving, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Obedience, if you love me, you will keep my commands, 1 John 5:2. Scripture, you'll search the scriptures, and fellowship. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the gathering together. Why? because it is gathering together that we inspire and we help one another in our transformation journey. We could talk about growing and maturing in 2 Peter 1, 5-8. Add this to this, add this, add this, add this. And you will not be lacking in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ or in bearing fruit. So grow. Romans 5, 3-5 talks about joy in trials. So those are characteristics of transformation. And you can keep going. Let's finish up with slide 13. There's our butterfly. The culmination of transformation. I'm going to read a couple of passages here at the end as we close. In Jude 24 and 25, the benediction is to be presented blameless in the day of Christ, in the day of his return. We have a citizenship in heaven from which we await a Savior and a new body. That's Philippians 3. 1 Corinthians 15, 50-58 talk about how we will be changed. We will, in the power of his resurrection, we will receive new bodies. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16-18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. When we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Revelation chapter 21. Verses 3-5. I'll start with verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. The culmination of transformation. So I'm just going to ask simply, where are you on your journey of transformation? None of us are perfect. None of us have reached the pinnacle. All of us who have been regenerated and born again are somewhere on that journey of transformation. If you haven't started on that journey, you're welcome to come visit and talk about how I can be transformed and one day enjoy the culmination of transformation. Let's pray, and the praise team can come. Father, we are challenged this morning, I am, by your word. That, Father, the the successful Christian life that I desire, the effective Christian life, the exciting Christian life, the Christian life that is faithful, is wrapped up in the power of transformation. Transformation that starts with being born again, transformation in the renewing of my mind in the Spirit, transformation in the Scriptures and understanding how they lead and teach, transformation that comes from you. It is authored by you. It is finished by you. Father, may we be able to look in our lives and recognize the characteristics of transformation. And may the hope of our hearts and minds be to one day enjoy the culmination of our transformation in the presence of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.